Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast. Bit of a full house today. I'm joined by Chris Holt as usual. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Simon.
And a newbie today, a new special guest, Dominic Dietrich, Radio Derby's new anchor man, I guess, for BBC Derby Sport, taking it from Chris Coles. Good evening, Dom. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
Brilliant. No, fantastic. So, again, another brilliant week for Derby. More signings, another win, another game tomorrow night. But first of all, I'm going to introduce Dom. Obviously, Dom, you're new to us. you're new to Radio Derby. You've taken over from Chris Coles. I hope he, you know, does well, whatever he does in the future now. Obviously, you'll be working with Ed Dawes on match day. So, yeah, Dom, if you want to give a bit of a background about yourself, that'd be nice.
Yeah, first and foremost, just want to say what a great job Chris did as well. 5 years in the job. I think he went through absolutely everything. So, you know, he's the standard to follow, and I'm looking forward to stepping into his shoes. But so a bit of background on me. I basically am from Derby. My first experience came in BBC Radio Derby as well, but it was 8 years ago. So in 2014, I was at university in Southampton, and I applied for this BBC Kickoff Reporter scheme. And it's basically you work for your BBC local radio for a summer and you get to see the inner workings of a BBC radio station. So I essentially applied for this summer internship, went in for an interview. Owen Bradley was the man interviewing me at the time. He was actually wearing flip-flops in the interview, and I've never forgot that. he was wearing flip-flops. I'm not sure if he'd like me to say that. Got the job, and I was absolutely delighted, and it was just a work experience opportunity. And I was in there, and the likes of Colin Bloomfield were there, absolute legend, got some great advice from him throughout the time. He took some time to just talk to me about the job and his stories about Nigel Clough and all those sorts of days. But it was the days of Steve McLaren, and one of the highlights of the summer was actually getting to go watch Steve McLaren do his ice bucket challenge. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that
trend.
So yeah, I remember that.
I got to go to the training ground, and suddenly, I should say, I am a Derby County fan, season ticket holder when I was younger. Suddenly, I'm in Moor Farm. I'm in the changing room, walking past Johnny Russell, Jamie Ward, thinking, wow, they're small. And and then going out into the courtyard to watch this ice bucket challenge. And that really just set it going for me. That was where I thought, wow, this is an incredible opportunity and I've got to try and capitalize on it. And 8 years down the line, I'm back and I'm in the job I've always dreamed of having. And honestly, it's not really sunk in yet. And even doing podcasts like this, you know, I've listened to you guys before, and it's just crazy. It's been a whirlwind couple of weeks, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, brilliant. It's good to have you on board. So obviously you were at Manchester before, weren't you? What is it with Derby taking Manchester people? And I think really now you look at that, you know.
I'm not sure I'll be getting freedom of the city, but I've been in Manchester for like the last 3 years or so. So basically got an opportunity on the sports desk there to work as a freelance sports journalist. I'd go in, I'd read the bulletins every now and again, and then basically kind of committed just before COVID to move there and try and make a full-time go of it with Manc. And they were really good to me, gave me so many opportunities. But as soon as COVID hit, obviously all the work disappeared. There was no sport. So I was in a situation where I've still got the emails on my phone where I've got applications to Starbucks, like pizza delivery. Honestly, it got that bad at one point, and didn't actually get any of those jobs. and ended up just working the late shifts at Manx. So I'd go in at 10 till 1, and it's this man called Alan Bezic, and it's basically no holes barred radio. So you get some people that come on and say the most ludicrous things, but it's hilarious. It's, you should give it a listen if you can. He's an absolute legend. But
it's like the Monday night phone-in.
Yeah, it is. It is a talking after hours. Yeah. Talking after hours. But yeah, that was great for me, because it just got me through the pandemic. And then after that, we got back on the sports desk and started working almost full time in that sort of capacity, presenting the Saturday sports show, commentating on the matches. And you think about some of the stories that have happened in the last 2 years across Manchester. And look, we've had it very close to home with Derby County in the last 2 years. You look at Wigan Athletic situation, Bolton Wanderers, Bury going out of business, Macclesfield, the list goes on. Oldham Athletic, that is another one. They've slipped out into the National League. We've been across all of that, and it's been a really good grounding, and it's been a really good opportunity to get thrown into a massive patch with so many teams to try and keep on top of. But I think we've done it quite well, and like, I've had some great days and some bad days. I've made my mistakes at Manchester, I think, when I was a bit younger. So hopefully you're getting a more polished product in Derby. But yeah, I mean, some of the stories in Manc, I was there the day Oldham Athletic fans took a coffin to Boundary Park to sort of say symbolise the death of their football club under the current ownership. At the moment, they then went down into the National League there on the final day when the game gets abandoned. So it's been a lot going on, and football's been a bit of a sad place, I think, wherever you look, when you've got that going on at Oldham, and then the team you support back at home is Derby, and they're going through what the club did go through. So, yeah, I'm back and I'm happier. It's a much more positive era ready for the club.
Definitely. You've come back at a very good time now. You've missed all the bad stuff, but now you've come back. Hopefully it's going good. And obviously, speaking of which, We've had a lot of arrivals, but we've had another person go today. Colin Kazim Richard has said farewell today. Chris, thoughts on that? Did you read his he had a big post about, you know, in thanking everyone, including the staff. It was, I had to send it to my nephew, because he named my nephew's mum, you know, who works there and knows him, and you know, she's always said to me he's a really nice guy and everything. I mean, have you had any personal experience with him?
Yeah, I've had a couple of chats with him pitch side. Colin used to get himself into trouble by throwing all his kit into the crowd. And the players only had like four items for each piece of kit, you know, shirt, shorts and socks. I think it's four. And I don't know if you remember, last season he wore the poppy shirt in a game after Remembrance Day, because he'd given away that much kit. That was the only CKR shirt that was left, and they had to take it out of the auction that it was on.
Oh dear.
And I always, the other thing I remember about CKR is when he takes his shirt off, he sweats. Wow, he sweats. It's as if someone has literally mopped the floor with his shirt. The amount of intensity and energy that he puts into his performances, absolutely so humble of a man. Wonderful guy to speak to. And yeah, I wish him all the best. I would imagine that his family was homesick, and they're obviously based in South America. And I just wonder if the time has come now for him to concentrate on his children going back to South America.
Yeah, could be. It's a shame, really, because I think he was sort of the hero that we didn't know we needed, as I put it earlier on Twitter. Because I think when he came in, a lot of people said, you know, what a ridiculous signing this is. You know, he's a journeyman, and all of a sudden, I think he helped keep Derby up. You know, he scored some very important goals, some very good goals. You know, he kept the team going. You know, he was always that person on the pitch. I remember during the COVID days, and all you could hear was somebody whooping, and that was him, because he wanted the ball. yeah, I mean, Dom, are you sad to see Colin go?
Yeah, I am. I think, like you said, Simon, when he first arrived, it was one of those things that everyone in football had to look twice, as if Kazim Richards was back in England playing in the Championship. It was quite bizarre. He's a name you'd always remembered, but never really, you know, lived up to his potential, lived up to his talent. And I remember when he signed, I didn't expect him to come and be the player he was in terms of the big sort of focal point up front, bringing others into play. I always saw him as a bit more of like a winger in his younger days. And I think the level of maturity he brought, and just the professionalism, he set the standard for that football club during a very hard time. And I think he can leave with his head held high, because he proved all the doubters wrong. Everything people questioned about him, he almost doubled down in the other direction and showed them that they were absolutely wrong to think that. And I think he came in big moments, the goal against Forest and, you know, West Brom. There's some big moments for him, and he took it all on his shoulders. But I also think it's worth giving a shout out to his work with the young lads. Mm. I imagine being a young player in that team last season, having someone as confident and who sort of stands with such presence as Colin, I imagine that would have helped them. That would have been the world of good to them. And the thing about his message, I really liked it. It felt really authentic.
Yeah.
It didn't. There's a lot of copy and paste jobs we see in this industry. You know, when a player leaves a club, you can almost predict the first few lines. But the fact that he mentioned certain people, as he mentioned your family connection, he went deeper than he had to, and it shows the effect he had on Derby County, but also the effect Derby County had on him. And special player. I don't think he'll ever be forgotten, even though he was only here for a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's just my only sad thing is that we didn't get to see him play more, as obviously, you know, he had his best spell, most consistent spell, I suppose, during the COVID period. I think it'd be a sad one. I think I'll miss him, to be honest. I think he would have done good in League One. Do you think that, Chris? Or
I think what you've got to consider is who you've signed. Mm-hmm. You've signed James Collins, you've signed David McGoldrick, who both can play that role that CKR can play. And I don't know if they've looked at his fitness and they've seen that he's been struggling, because he had a fairly substantial injury, didn't he, last season, and never quite came back from it. And I just wonder whether it suits all parties that now they've got Collins and McGoldrick in, and we saw what them two are capable of doing on Saturday. I think it's obviously the style of play that Liam wants to carry on playing with a target man up top. And I think CKR was one of the better ones we've had recently. But I think the signings have shown that his time has come. And I wish him all the best. He was nothing short of gave everything. And that's all we ask, isn't it, as Derby fans?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So you mentioned their signings. we've had more another week, another handful of signings have come in. So as you mentioned there, James Collins, freebie from Cardiff. What a signing that is. You know, obviously I think he was very influential in Luton's promotion season from League One to the Championship. I think it's 25 goals he scored. Didn't really cut it as much in the Championship, but what a signing there for League One. What a signing. Kwaku Adoru, right back into, I think, from Manchester. Well, he was at Manchester City. Another good player when he played against Bradford. Looked like he did quite well. Bit of pace. He's not frightened to have the ball at his feet, which is always good. I'm trying to think of now. Who else? Hayden Roberts, we spoke about. Oh, no, Hayden Roberts was mentioned, but he hadn't confirmed on our last show. So I say he's now confirmed. And one more, Scott Loach, goalkeeper.
And Corey Smith.
There we go. You see, it's hard to keep up. It's 11 new signings in this team now. It's unheard of. I will come to the goalkeeper, Chris, because obviously I got a lot of stick on Twitter after the Bradford game when I put about Wildsmith looking a bit nervous in goal, ball at his feet and all that, and got a bit ridiculed a little bit. Oh, I can make a judgment after one game. I wasn't judging. I was just saying I'm getting fears of Ruse, even though I did like him. I've got his shirt with his name on my back right now. I'm wearing it. And also, obviously, they both struggled to adapt to this style. And I think he had a bit of a moment against Hertha. He didn't really have much to do against Hertha Berlin, to be honest. Let's be honest. But Scott Loach, obviously a very experienced keeper. Obviously come from Chesterfield, his last club. You know, but you said he's a coach when I spoke to you about him on Saturday, didn't you? Is he coming for... It's hard to judge by his interview if he's coming for second, third, or even first choice keeper.
He's an interesting one because he has his own business called S1 Goalkeeping, and I think he also has his own brand of clubs. He coaches a lot of the girl goalkeepers in various academies around the Midlands. I've met him a few times with a girl that used to play for me at Derby County Ladies. Really nice guy. But I find it interesting, just to catch up with Dom, we spoke about goalkeepers and what you need from a goalkeeper in League One. And I said that to Simon, what concerned me was that Wildsmith and Roos, both very similar mould in size. They're not the biggest of guys. And as you go lower in the leagues, you need a more physical physical attribute of a keeper, more of a brick wall, who's not necessarily got the attributes of distribution, but doesn't mind putting his head in a block or coming across for a corner. It was interesting that Scott Loach said exactly the same on his interview. He said that this the keeper. And I think Scott's a very, very good signing. He's going to be number three, we know that. But I think people forget that the academy has been stripped of a lot of good young junior coaches. And Scott is a very good coach. He's doing his badges. I think he's up to a UEFA B already. I've seen him in action, and he's got a lot of good things to hand over. And 500 appearances at all levels doesn't make a bad coach or keeper, Dom, don't we think?
Yeah, I think it's also the benefit of having someone like Liam Rossini in charge, who's been through that pathway himself in terms of going from professional footballer into the coaching setup. I think that's going to benefit him. But yeah, he's not played in the Football League since, I think, the 15-16 season. So he's definitely here to be a backup. I think that's fair to say. I don't think we're doing him any discredit there. But I think it's a good signing. Again, it's experience that was lacking last season. You think of all the tough away days, the 1-0 defeats away from home. Just having that, a bit of wisdom, someone like Scott Loach, who has played a lot of games, granted, like I say, not in the Football League of recent years, I think it can only be a good thing. And it just adds to that blend, and it's different experiences. So you look at some of the players that have come in. I know we're going to get on to the likes of Corey Smith and the promotions that all these players have gained during their career. He's just another one to add into the mix, and another person with a strong voice that can help with the young lads.
In Manchester, or up there, why have you been up there? Have you seen any keeper in the lower leagues with the lower clubs? Are you thinking, you know what, he could actually do a job? Is there anyone that comes to mind?
James Trafford, on loan at Bolton from Manchester City. He's a young lad, plays football out from the back. He's almost like a bit of a mini Edison, to be fair. He went on loan to Bolton last season and really impressed, and they've got him again this season. On the ball, he's so comfortable. He looks about 12 years old, but... I could resonate with that. But he genuinely is so cool and calm and collected. He comes from a farming family. He just talks about, I think he did an interview the other day talking about how he just loves ice cream. He's going to spend all his wages on ice cream. And he's a really confident lad. Gavin Bazun, who's just signed for Southampton this season, this summer, he played for Pompey last season. He was a brilliant goalkeeper, top player. And then the other one I would have seen close to home with Wigan Athletic, probably Ben Amos. Really, really astute goalkeeper, but he had the benefit of having a back four with the likes of Jack Watmore in it in front of him to sort of help him out. But I mean, I think that is the one position at the moment that could do with maybe just... I don't want to be harsh on Wildsmith because he didn't have much to do in the Hertha Berlin game, which is credit to Derby in the way they played. But I don't know if he's the number one. Just based on his CV so far, he's not had that season of being the number one. And I think in a situation that Derby go into League One in, I think you need a strong head behind the defence. You think of the likes of Cashin and young lads like Hayden Roberts, and we said Kwaku as well, who's coming if he goes in at right back. That's another person that they're going to need that voice behind them. They've got Curtis Davis, but I just think maybe a bit of strengthening in the goalkeeping department might be needed. And I know they're looking to do that.
There you go. So we are looking at another keeper. I'd look at someone like Alex Smithies, I think.
Yeah.
I believe he is available on a free. I think, you know, he's one of them keepers that, again, he's a established championship keeper. Quite easy play at championship level, quite easy play at this level. And he's one of the keepers that... He is a bit more physical. He is a bit more bigger. He might not have the prowess with the ball at his feet, but I think he will obviously be that sort of commander in chief, if you like. You know, something that we do lack. And to be honest, that's one thing that I noticed about when Scott Loach came on was, sorry, I'm going to a goalkeeping there with Chris, was his positioning from corners and crosses. They were outswinging corners, and rather than being pinned a yard two off his line as Wildsmith was, he was more 3 or 4 yards off his line. And I think that's what, you know, that's something that obviously Scott himself can look at doing with Wildsmith, is getting his positioning right. Obviously along with the other coaches as well. It's just little things like that you notice. So yeah, but for me, yeah, Alex Smithies is someone I think that, you know, if he is available, that we should be looking at. What do you think, Chris?
My only concern is Hertha Berlin and friendlies that you'll see for the first 4 games will allow the ball to be played from the back. I think when you come to your Tuesday, Wednesday night games in Morecambe and Accrington and what have you, you're going to have players who are going to be McGoldrick, James Collins-esque against Derby, piling into the box, big 6'3" centre-halves. And I'm sure Joe Wildsmith's a great keeper and a great shot stopper, but I agree with Dominic. He's had 67 appearances in 9 years. He's had some injuries. You've got to ask yourself, is he the man that you're going to rely on 100% on a 50-50 ball coming from a set play? And that's one thing I think we've always struggled on with keepers since Scott Carson. And I think we in League One, you have to have that skill set and that bravery to be able to collect a ball.
I think when you look at the teams that got promoted last season from League One, Wigan Athletic played direct. They got the job done. Rotherham played direct, got the job done. That's the sort of teams you're going to be coming up against this season. I was lucky enough to see quite a fair bit of League One, and it does seem like that's the trend. It isn't about fancy football. Bolton were someone that set the tone for that, and I'm sure they'll be up there fighting for the playoffs this season. But Wigan and Rotherham, they were practical. They put balls into the box, and that's why they had players. The Rotherham striker's name escapes me, but you got Will Keane, who was benefiting from crosses into the box, and Callum Lang for Wigan as well. It's how it worked. Ross Stewart for Sunderland as well, big man scoring goals. So that these are the caliber of players that whoever is the number one for Derby County this season are going to be coming up against.
Definitely. So, obviously, moving on then, Corey Smith didn't play against Hertha because obviously only got announced that day. Saw in his interview today on Rams TV that he turned down Championship offers. What is going on? players seem to be turning down a Championship move to come to Derby. And I know, Chris, you've discussed it, obviously, that at length about, you know, the situation with the club, as in where it is in the Midlands. You know, it's in the centre of the country, I suppose, easy to get to, good rail routes, all that sort of stuff. But surely players, you know, they want to go play for a Championship club, yet League One, we're still bringing them in. And that has to be credit to Liam Senior and how he's talking to these players, saying, you know, what the project is and what they're building there. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think, and again, Tom to Preston came in, someone like Corey, he's got to ask himself, what's the ambition there? I think with Derby, he's looked at, I still think that he's 31 years old, he's a family man. Derby's a great place to live because you're in the middle of everywhere, you're never too far away from an airport, an M1. There's internationals that come to the club, so he's followed the trend, but he also sees there is a project. And I just think that when you say a Championship offer, there's 24 clubs in the Championship, and those offers probably haven't come from the top 10. And that's no disrespect to Corey. He's a fantastic player. But I think he's come to Derby for the bigger picture. I think if he's here for 2 or 3 years, it's a nice place to live for 2 or 3 years. You know, you can relax in the Peak District. You can get down to London in an hour and 40. You can get on the airport and go and see friends in Swansea or Norwich or Bristol, where he's previously played. And I just think it's a complete package. I don't know what you think, Dom.
I think Moor Farm has a big thing to play in it as well. The facilities at Moor Farm are pretty unrivaled at League One level. I'm pretty confident in saying that when you go to Moor Farm, you see it all open up in front of you. It's a special place to be day in, day out, I imagine, for a footballer. So I think that has a big selling point for it. But also, it's Liam Rossini. You've got to look at the enthusiasm. I spoke to him for the first time on Saturday, and the way he talks about football and the way he smiles as he talks to you about it is infectious, and it makes you believe every word he's saying, and you can sense the desire from him to build something. I know Corey mentioned that the project was almost sort of too good to turn down, in a sense. That is what Derby County is selling at the moment. I hate the cliche, but a sleeping giant, in inverted commas, is what we are, sadly. You know, first time in the third division for 36 years. There's a reason the club's not been in the third division, because it should be higher. So I think players are looking at that and thinking, look, they've got an opportunity to make their name for themselves. And I think the supporters have a lot of credit to take as well. Look at the atmosphere that was generated last season up and down the country every game. They know that those supporters are going to be with them in the tough times, in the good times. And I mean, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want 30,000 fans at Pride Park screaming your name after you've just lashed one in from 25 yards if you're Corey Smith? I mean, why not?
It's an interesting point, that, Dom, because just throwing in a name there. A friend of mine went up to Blackpool today to do some compression type scanning, and he bumped into a good old captain and sort of, I used to call him Frank, because he always spoke to me, Richard Keogh. And he was talking to Keogh after the scan, and he said that all the Blackpool players were absolutely gobsmacked about the way Derby followed him on that last game. And Keogh said he wasn't gobsmacked. And he generally said to my mate that, look, what's been done has been done with the bad press and what have you, and is the way it all happened. But he said that there's no better club in the country for fans. And he said, you know, it didn't surprise him at all. And he genuinely wants the best for Derby and wants them to be back up where they belong. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Hmm.
That's nice to hear from an ex-player, isn't it? Yeah, every day you get that, you know, especially everything that happened with Keogh. Then, so I'm just going to throw another name in the mix that's been mentioned over the weekend. Obviously, rumour mill, you know, which is, it's nice to actually have a rumour mill about transfers, and that's Keemar Roofe. Obviously, it's going to look to be a loan signing. Surely, though, that if that were to happen, then they'd have to pay, Rangers would have to pay his wages, because there's no way it'd fit in our budget. What do you think about that, Dom? That would be some signing if we pulled that off.
I mean, I saw the story go up on the Glasgow Live, and again, it was one where you had to look twice. And if you believe it, I also think putting Keemar Roofe into a front three when you've got Collins, you've got McGoldrick, that's a big problem for a manager to have as well, trying to select which one of them's going to play. If he does play the 4-3-3, if he plays the 4-4-2, that might be in his thinking. But again, it is that situation. We know that EFL are approving every deal that goes through, so there shouldn't be a concern in that regard. But you've got to think it would take a monumental deal in Derby's favour to get Keemar Roofe to Pride Park this season. I've not heard anything to inclinate that it is true and that there are reports of it. I have contacted the club to try and find out, but heard nothing. So, look, this is something you're just going to have to wait and see. Nothing would surprise me, though, the rate that this season's going. I think when the reports of Harahan came out that he was going to join the club, everyone kind of laughed that off. So I guess it's wait and see and see what Derby can produce.
I bet you're constantly ringing. Bringing the club at the minute, aren't you? The amount of things that are coming out.
I need to finish my old job first.
Well, the thing is, though, it's going to carry on. I mean, I heard this morning on Radio Derby, of course, with Andy Twigg, that Rossini's phone's constantly on charge.
Yes.
Because he's constantly trying to get deals and more deals done.
Yeah, that I spoke to Rossini on Saturday and he said that. I said if he had a chance to lie down. Yeah, since he took the job. And he said he's just been on the phone, and I spoke about the next week or so. And I said, you know, I imagine your phone's going to be pretty buzzing for the next week. And he said it's going to be right up until the wire, right up until the opening day, his phone's going to be ringing. I did suggest he should get a portable charger, though, because he didn't have one on him. So it might run out. He did say he'd take me up on that offer, so I will be following up on that. Yeah, I mean, that man's phone is going to be ringing. But you've also got to think, agents are going to be calling Derby County because they see what's happening, and there will be a desire from certain agents, I imagine, to try and get players to Derby County to work under a senior. So it's an interesting dynamic. I imagine a lot of the phone calls are quite beneficial and helpful for a senior, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were people trying to tout their players towards Pride Park.
I think it's an agent story. Personally, I'd be amazed if he owes us a few goals, to be fair, because every time I hear his name, I just think of, I'm sure he scored against us for Leeds many times.
He scored twice in the 4-1 thrashing. What did he get? And then he scored the playoff game doing the home leg.
He did. I just think that he's obviously not getting a first team looking at Rangers at the moment. They've got a new forward they've signed, I believe. Is it Ben Taylor? The name springs to mind. You're right. There needs to be a monumental agreement of capacity of wage that's paid on behalf of Derby. The one lad I really wanted to talk to Dom about quickly was the lad from Manchester, because he looks about 4.
Quaku.
Yeah. Have you seen him play at 23s?
I haven't, but I've heard a lot of good things about him. I've spoke to some friends that work for the MEN, Manchester Evening News, and they've spoken very highly of him. And Pep Guardiola speaks very highly of him as well. For a player to be introduced into a Pep Guardiola training session is quite the compliment. And you've got to realize that the level that he's stepping into. So there's no shame in being released after being a captain of the academy in that football club, because he's got to step up and take Kyle Walker's position, João Cancelo. These are the people he's up against. So there's no shame on him that he's been released. It's not quite worked out there. But to say he's been a captain at under-18s, they won the Academy Premier League last season, just gone. He's led them the way, and it falls again into that sort of the players that Rossini is looking to sign in the leadership category. Now, he might only be a teenager, but he's got those leadership capabilities. And the one thing I quite liked about his interview was he's a family man. I think he said, if I win, they win. And if they win, I win, which I thought was really nice. And it shows the right character that you want to be bringing into a football club. So they've definitely thought about it. And I do hope he gets a run. I hope he gets an opportunity, because I think the one thing with this Derby side, and you hear the noise from other football fans that you see the age of all the signings, of all 11 signings. A lot of them have been over the 28 to sort of 32 category. They've been in that sort of spectrum. And what people from the outside don't realise is that they're bedding these players into a squad with Max Bird, a squad with Louis Sibley, and hopefully Jason Knight if he stays. These are players that are going to slot in and be part of it, Thompson as well. So to get that balancing, to get that leadership that I think Kwaku does possess in and around all that, is, you'd hope, the perfect blend.
Definitely, 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 definitely. So, yep, Kwaku then right back. Now, left back, obviously Hayden Roberts joined last Saturday. Craig Forsyth, he's somebody that, you know, I think a lot of people want him to stay just for experience, squad numbers. Obviously, 10 years will bring his testimonial. We've still not heard anything about a contract being offered to him yet. Dom, can you enlighten us? Have you heard anything?
I would be surprised at this point if he didn't have one by the 30th, personally. I'm not saying that with any in-the-know information. I just think for him to be still in the fold at this point of pre-season, to be playing minutes, I know the club will obviously want to keep him fit if he was to go elsewhere as well. I would be surprised if he wasn't a Derby player come the start of the season. You'd think that they're just trying to iron a few things out. I think Rossini spoke after the Bradford game and said that he hopes it gets sorted out sooner rather than later. So it's a priority clearly for the club. And as you say, he'll want that testimonial year. He's the longest serving player at the club, and there's value in that. And yeah, I don't think he necessarily starts. I think he's just good to have around in a season with so much turnaround and so much, so many different things happening and different players. I think it's good to have some level of consistency behind the scenes at the club and in the squad.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's still in the early 30s. I think I'm pretty sure he's younger than me. I think he's 32, is he? 32, 33, 32.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, he's recently got married. He's got two kids, lives in the area. Married to a local girl. So, you know, I think if the right offer came, he'd take it. Chris, would you keep him here? Do you think he brings and adds value to the squad?
Yep, totally agree with Dom. I don't think he'd be a starting 11 player. I think he's going to look for some young wing backs, and I think Hayden Roberts and the lad from Man City will look to challenge those roles. One thing that Fozzie brings you is height and consistency in the air. He's a very good header of the ball, and people don't realise how good a header he is. I also think that he's not far short of a testimonial. I don't think we've had a testimonial year for a player at Derby for a long time, so it'd be nice to reward him with his loyalty. He went through some terrible injuries as well. I think that one thing that Derby have missed last year, and that was through no fault of their own, was you looked at the bench, there wasn't a nice spread of options. I think versatility is the word I'm looking for. And I agree with Dom. I think what Forsyth brings you is, and again with Stearman, you could look at the bench of of seven on there. And if you could have a centre half, a wing back, two midfielders, a striker and a keeper, you're pretty much covered for any situations that happen out there. And I don't think the Derby have had that for a while.
Yeah, I agree with that, to be honest. I think, you know, it's, for me, there is nostalgia, as you say, testimonial years this year. Obviously, if you stayed a year, that's his testimonial year. But, you know, it shows his character as well with the injuries he's had. Three ligaments, you know, bionic knees now he's got, definitely. He's still, I think, last season, I felt he was unfortunate to be dropped for Lee Buchanan when he became fit. I thought he was quite consistent. He's not got the pace that he used to have going up and down the wings, granted, but he still gets into good positions. I still think he's probably one of the best crossers of the ball this club's had in a long while. Nathan Byrne might be in there. I think Nathan Byrne got more crosses in, but I think Fozzie's was more quality. He didn't put as many in, but I think they had a lot more quality to him. And I just think now, you know, he's someone that, as you said, Dom, you know, why would he still be here in pre-season now? He's played both games if he wasn't sort of hoping for a deal to be agreed. So for me, yeah, I think I'd take him. So speaking of games, we have sort of muttered our way around it, but we've obviously played Hertha Berlin first game back at Pride Park for pre-season. All I can say is what a performance, especially first half. Again, obviously we got to see the new boys, Horihan, Chester, McGoldrick, Collins, and all I can say is, wow. But one person actually that I don't think got mentioned who deserves a mention was Max Bird. Mm. I thought Max Bird was... I've not really been Max Bird's biggest fan. Granted, people who listen to the show will know that. I've made my thoughts clear. However, one thing I noticed about Max Bird, especially against Hertha, was he looked very confident. He looked to dominate in midfield. And this whole sideways, backwards passing seems to have disappeared in that game. It was, right, I've got the ball, I want to go forward. From what I saw in that game, especially the first half, we played off, it looked like a 4-4-2. I think McGoldrick had a bit of a free roll because he was everywhere. Well, obviously, we know Derby like to play out from the back. Whether it was because circumstances allowed, what we seemed to do was, if it wasn't on, it wasn't on. We went long. Or it was get the ball out from the keeper and then get it forward and play football in the final third. There was none of this messing about in midfield, which I think a lot of the time we did last season, we were slow to build up. If that's the way we're going to play, then we will win games easily next season.
I think with next to Conor Hourihan as well, he is someone that will bring confidence out of Max Bird as well. I think those two in centre mid, I think you'll struggle to find a League One partnership in centre mid that can really compete with that. The one thing I do, I think it's more of an OCD thing. They're both left-footed, so that's one thing that in my head. I'm looking at that and it doesn't feel right, but it looks great.
Dom's on Football Manager next season. Uma dropping. Honestly,
it's going to drive me insane. But yeah, I think those two offered such a stable footing in between two very attacking wingers in Barkhouse and Mendes Lang. But I just think when you have someone like Hourihan next to you, whose first thought is to go forward and play that forward thinking pass, it brings confidence out of you. I think it's fair to say that the best Max Bird we saw was when he was in midfield with probably Rooney, would you say?
Yeah, under Cocker, yeah, definitely.
And he's had the confidence in having someone like Wayne Rooney next to him. I'm not saying Conor Hourihan is anywhere near the career of Wayne Rooney, but it just shows maybe with that midfield partnership, if you have the confidence of the man next to you, you can develop. Look, it was one game as well, and it's a different manager with different ideas. Let's not get carried away. But he's definitely good enough to dominate League One.
You cannot say don't get carried away in front of Chris. Trust me. Trust me, we'll come to that.
Dom, you can't say. Don't you worry.
Okay.
What I'll say is that Hertha Berlin allowed him to play. They're obviously, it was interesting that they played three friendlies that day with three different squads. They're at St George's and they played, I believe, Halifax and Salford with two other squads. Now, putting it out there with Max Bird, I wouldn't be surprised at all if a lower echelon Premier League club coming for him before the window closes, because there's not many English young creative midfielders out there that you could grab for under 5 million quid. I don't think he's worth more than 5 million. I don't think he's proven yet to be worth. So I don't know about you, Dom and Simon, but I just wonder whether he would shine in League One. But when you come to being Morecambe away on a really, really nasty pitch, or a Plymouth Argyle tenacious midfield that they've got, you've then got to ask yourself, is League One going to be suit his style? Because he's without doubt a talented, creative lad and a left footer, quite right. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wanted to stay, love Max, like you know, Simon. I knew his dad, bless his heart, yeah, when we played basketball together. I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes in, someone like Everton, because I know that Lampard was very, very keen on him, wasn't he, Dom?
Yeah, he was. And look, I think with a window where the future of Christian Bielik's still uncertain as well, I don't think Derby would particularly like to let go of both of them if we're going on the thought that Bielik might not be there on the opening day. I don't know. I think he can. You put him in a three in midfield for those games where it is maybe a bit more physical, and he can maybe either sit behind a Thompson, or Thompson could be behind him, or whatnot, however it shapes up. I still back him to come through those games, but I think he's worth having when you're the team on top, like Derby are going to look to do this season. They're going to look to be the team in the ascendancy, the team creating chances. And I think he'll flourish in that. But look, not every game's going to be perfect for him. The way Wigan played last season, they had Tom Naylor, obviously former Ram, and he was brilliant because he would do the physical side, he would intercept everything, he'd mop up behind the two sort of more creative midfielders in front of him. And I think that might just be what Derby are lacking a bit at the moment, just that designated holding midfielder.
Why Smith's been signed though? He's that type of player, isn't he? He likes to play between the 18-yard line and the halfway.
Yeah, you would look at Smith to do that, and he's got the versatility to drop into fullback as well. So it will be interesting to see how it shapes up, because the 4-4-2 seemed to work quite nicely. I think it will be 4-3-3. Don't quote me on that and come at me on the 30th.
I'll write this down.
Don't come at me on the 30th. But I would be surprised with the players we've got if it's not 4-3-3. But then it begs the question, what do you do, McGoldrick or Collins? And I think that's a conversation for a whole other podcast. But look, there's so many decisions for a senior to make. But we've not got the benefit of time. We've got Stevenage tomorrow, if it goes ahead with all these heat concerns and things like that. And then one more game, and then it's game time. So Rossini's going to have to make some big decisions and make them quickly.
Definitely. He's building a squad, though. Mendes Lang obviously scored the goal. He's basically an experienced Festi Ebiseli. He's replaced Ebiseli. He's got the pace, he's got the power, but he's got the final ball. You know, he knows what he wants to do. He wants to get past his man, put the ball in the box. And I noticed so many times on Saturday that he's doing that and there's players in the box. And that again, it's something that we've not seen enough of, is getting players in and around that box to try and score goals. And, you know, but for, you know, out of all that, for me, the player, especially that first half, was McGoldrick. He was everywhere. He was up front, he was defending, he was in midfield, he was starting attacks. You know, he was unlucky not to score. But isn't it nice to have a big centre forward that's looking to bully defenders, Chris?
Yeah, we've spoke about Dizzy a couple of podcasts ago. I don't think he'll play centre forward. I think he'll play almost like a free roll 10.
Yeah.
I think he showed his skill. People don't realise how skillful a player he is. Like, he did a couple of turns on the ball to create the opportunity for the goal that came from the goal.
Yeah.
He's got a sharp up on his finishing. People forget that Dizzy hasn't played since March, I believe, Dom. And I think he's got, he's had a hell of a, he's 30 years old, to not play for that amount of time, then comes straight back into pre-season, and to give 45 minutes of that quality. And he's so versatile. He's good in the air. He can play that striker up top on his own role if he needs to. I agree with you. I think he could drop deeper if needed be. I would imagine that he's probably the first name on the team sheet every week, Dom.
I thought it was quite interesting, though, because I think the first 10 or 15 minutes, it took Derby a little while to really get their foothold in the game. I thought it was going to be a tough afternoon after the first 10 minutes, personally. But the man that started getting on the ball and making things happen was McGoldrick, and it kind of pulled the team with him. And I think he's a fantastic signing. At League One, I don't think he should be playing League One football, to be honest.
I agree.
I think him and Harahan are the two best signings of the summer so far. And I just think it's his know-how, and like Chris was saying there, the fact that he can just bully defenders and almost make his own mind up as to what he's going to do next. The way, at his age, and with the injury history he's had, that he helped create that first goal, running around the outside to the byline and then at the front post trying to slot it in and still being there for the rebound, although missing it and it getting cleared off the line. It just shows his determination, his passion, and his drive. And he got 45 minutes there. I wouldn't be surprised if they're just going to be very careful with him and manage him and get him ready for the 30th.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are a bit disappointed to see him go off on Saturday. But again, he's only played, like say, 45 minutes. You know, that since, when was it? Whenever it was you last played. In
March,
yeah. And that's a long time in football, a very long time. He's joined pre-season coming late, but to play like that, you know, you look at this, again, it goes back to look at the squad, and we talk about the attack, but the defence, Curtis Davis, James Chester, two guys that are going to, you know, they will win headers. Hopefully won't have many, because one thing I noticed about Hayden Robertson, left back, he stops crosses. He does not give up on his man. You know, we've seen it far too many times over the last few seasons where we're letting too many crosses into the box, and that's always been our weakness, you know. Conceding from set pieces, conceding from crosses into the box. I thought Hayden Roberts looked very, very good, very composed. And I know, Chris, you said last week you've seen him play a couple of times, and he does look a very good player. But to actually see someone defend like that and stop crosses coming in, again, it's another big, big signing from Rossignol to maybe seeing it as a weakness, and that's what, you know, what he's looking at.
You've got to remember Hayden Roberts is a centre-half.
Yeah.
His trade is a centre-half, but he's another versatile Fozzy. He can play at the fullback role, no problem at all.
He's quick, though, isn't he?
He is quick. Yeah. He's also very strong. He's actually a physically very strong guy. I wasn't surprised with how well he slotted in. And you mentioned Chester and Davis. They played together at Hull, remember? Mm. And Dom, I was saying at a previous podcast, there's a lot of things that's been said on social media about people are concerned about how quickly the team will gel to get a run in on competing in the top six of the table. I don't think this team will take long to gel at all. I think the biggest concern, and you would have spoke to Liam about it, I think the biggest concern is, like Simon said, managing the pre-season with these guys. I don't think you'll see a lot of the older guys tomorrow at all. I think it'll be a younger squad. But I just wonder your thoughts, Tom, on whether you think that they won't take, I don't think they'll take any more than 9 or 10 games to gel. I think they're too astute, they're too clever as players.
I think the biggest concern for Rossignol, and he said it on Saturday, was the fitness. He's openly admitted they are way behind certain other clubs in terms of their fitness levels. Prime example, McGoldrick only getting 45 minutes at this point in pre-season with two games before the season is a concern. And I think you're right, Chris, in terms of the 9 or 10 game mark, that's when we're going to see this side at its best. Personally, I think that's pretty accurate. In terms of blending together, I actually put the question to Rossignol as well and just said to her, I was like, how have you managed it in 2 or 3 weeks to get a side playing like they've been playing together for months in that space of time? What have you done? And he just said that the players are so coachable, and the players he's brought in, he's looked for certain characteristics and he knows they're coachable. And I guess to be a manager and have a team of players that are hanging on your every word must be the best scenario for him ever as a young coach. But it's also that the players he brought in have a point to prove. So they're going to be determined. You mentioned James Collins. He said this is going to be his fresh start. I think he scored 3 goals in 30 appearances last season. He is here to prove a point. And every single time he's out on the pitch, he's going to be thinking in his head, I'm got to prove myself, get back to what I was at Luton. And I think he's got a team full of players with that kind of mindset. And I think Kazim mentioned it actually, didn't he, in his farewell, that they've set this culture at Derby. And it seems like these players are adopting it. And it seems like these players have clocked onto that quite quickly. And that's, again, credit to the manager.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, Liam, a lot of people said, you know, about his knowledge of the game, you know, a lot of people said how good he was at punditry. Now he's finally getting the chance to prove himself. But he's getting to prove himself in a way that I suppose is not pressure of a full manager, as obviously we had a statement out again early last week that he's not they're not giving him the manager's position. It is an interim position still. Do you think that's smart, Chris?
100%. He hasn't proved anything yet. He's a fantastic coach. He's a wonderful guy. He hasn't managed a football club yet. And I don't think you should put that pressure on him immediately. Allow him to continue. I said on Twitter, interim is a word that people are looking at too deep. Take that word out the equation and just let him be who he wants to be. He got a wonderful ovation when he turned up to the stadium on Saturday. He's got the fans back in. He clearly has got a lot of respect through the guys that he's signing. Either he's played with them or coached with them or knows players who they've both been involved with. I agree with Dom. I think that he has found players. He's found a spine of a team that doesn't need coaching. They just need guidance on how he wants to play, and they will take on board. So if you look at the people he signed at the back, the people he signed in the middle, and the people who he signed up top, and then that leaves little pockets to fill with youth and probably loan signings from Premier League squads. Give him 10 games. I think David's got a lot to sort out at the club. He sorted out the board. I've noticed he's brought the Clouds Developments Board in, which is very sensible. Guys that he knows he can trust 100% to run a business, because ultimately it's a business. Liam has got a paid position to run a football team. And just don't put pressure on him. Let him. He's clearly enjoying it. And, you know, Dominic, you spoke to him at the weekend. He clearly loves the job.
He does. But I think you've got to think of it from his point of view. This is something he's dreamed of for his entire life. He's a player that's wanted to be a coach his entire career. I was actually listening to an old podcast of him this morning, actually, where he was talking about his journey through playing, and all he wanted to be was a coach and a manager. I don't think he would want to get a full-time manager's job in this scenario just on the basis of it would please the fans and it would be sort of like a PR stunt for a good early move for a new ownership at the football club. I think he'll want to earn it with what he does on the pitch. And I think he fully backs himself that he will do. And I think it's almost an inevitability in his mind. He did say, though, that the prime focus for him is the future of Derby County, not himself. He said, put my future to the back of your mind. This is a club that was in administration just, you know, a few weeks ago. Let's focus on getting the football right and getting the club back to where it should be. And that'll all come in time.
Yeah, definitely. I just think it's just starting to click together now. Everything, after everything we've all been through, you know, fans, staff, you know, Chris, you know, everything that everybody's been through. It's good to be positive. It's good to see new players coming in. It's good to hear Rossini talk, to be honest, because he, you know, I think again with Wayne, we all know how he spoke. Everybody sort of took the mick out of how he spoke, which, you know, it's just the way he is. It's just him, you know, being a Scouser, being from Liverpool. It's just the way they talk. But everybody just seems refreshed and everybody seems positive and ready to go for the new season. All the players that are coming in all just seem to be, you know, can't wait. And it's, you know, when we first got brought, came out of administration and there was a rebuild, I expected to get has-beens just to get a squad together. I think I spoke about it with you, Chris. You know, we just expected to get a team, just random players that were here for a paycheck and not really bothered. But what it seems to be is we've actually got players here that want to fight and want to get this club promoted. Speaking of which, right. Now, I we've had this conversation in our last couple of podcasts about where we're going to finish this year. Now, obviously, it's hard to judge. We've only played two games, preseason games, but we are building a very good squad. And I mean, I made a little TikTok video yesterday and putting the signings together that we'd made in a little picture. I was like, Now, Chris is adamant we're going to get promoted. He is absolutely adamant. He's not quite HMS Walk the League, but he is adamant we're going to get promoted. Dom, me personally, I think we'll get playoffs. I think anything less than playoffs is unacceptable, to be honest, with the squad we've got. Dom, where are you at?
So I'm going to give this opinion based on the facts. And it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think automatic promotion's going to happen. But I'll caveat that with, I had these exact same conversations with Wigan Athletic supporters last season. They had three contracted players at the start of last summer. And they had similar thoughts. They thought they were just going to get the scraps. They thought they were just going to get people just to fill a squad. And they made great recruitment decisions. And look, they went on to win League One. So it's not impossible. It certainly isn't impossible. And the likes of Conor Hourihan, Max Bird, if he stays, McGoldrick, these are top players at League One level. But we have to also look at the examples of Sunderland. It took them 4 years to get back. A lot of managers in that time as well. I do think with Rossini and Derby have a great egg. I think playoffs has to be the target for this team, personally. I wouldn't care to put them under too much pressure. But with every signing, the pressure increases because the expectation comes. So I
can't wait for your interviews with Liam as the season goes on.
Honestly, I mean, please don't play this back. But I think they'll want playoffs. They're a team, 13 promotions out of the 11 new signings. It's what they want to do. Let's be honest. That's what they're targeting. They'll be disappointed if they don't.
You see, my theory is that the difference between Derby and Sunderland is I think Sunderland were messing around with managers, they were messing around with coaches, owners, they were bringing in youth talent from the Premier League. There just was not a right blend at that football club for years and years and years. They went through and down so many different routes. I don't think they had a clue what they were doing. And I think they eventually got it right last year. I think the difference is with Derby, the spine that's been signed is strong, and they know what they're doing. They know what they're about. I think the next four or five signings are crucial. I think you've got your spine there. You've got a team that, if it stays fit, and I agree with you, Dom, it's all about fitness. If they stay fit, they will be hard to beat. The key is now the jigsaw pieces that are missing. I think if the jigsaw pieces that come in are younger, but have the character which Liam Rossini keeps going on about, needs to fit in and blend with his style of play. I see a difficult league. I've had people rip me on Twitter all the time, but I still believe top two. I believe that Derby will do something that no team has done. You know, get promotion straight from an administration. I believe it hasn't been done before. I think it took Wigan 2 years. I think it took Bolton 2 years, if I'm right, Dom.
I think Wigan did it last season. Wigan went down and won it. But they brought in a ridiculous array of talent with like Charlie Wyke, who obviously situation happened with him that he couldn't finish the season. But I just think there needs to be patience. And I love Chris, I love your optimism. I love it, and it's infectious. But I just think those 10 games that we mentioned a few minutes ago with this team, that's still a thing. I think there's got to be patience with this team getting up to speed. After that, if it kicks on, absolutely. But you've got to stay with it because it's not going to go exactly to plan, I don't think.
I'm telling you now, Dom, if we batter Oxford on the 30th, he'll be on you. He will be on you, I'm telling you.
Dom, all I'll say is, you've got my phone number now, mate. If I don't get a phone call to come on and do a review with you on Beta Radio Derby and use that Simon Long guy that's on all the time, I'd be highly disappointed.
He's getting all jealous. All I
said is, Dom, is that I think a very important fixture, which I think we should look at, is Charlton away, the first away game, because that's the standard. They've been there or thereabouts. They've got a lovely pitch. I think they play good football. I think we'll know exactly where we're at on that game.
But that's, again, something that needs to change. We couldn't win away for love nor money last season, you know, and there's some travelling to be done this season, you know, and we, anybody that's played football, whether it be amateur or professional, travelling takes a lot out of you. It doesn't matter if you travel the day before or the same day. There's a lot of long trips, you know, like Plymouth, like Exeter. Exeter, is that right? Yeah, they are. Yeah. A lot of long trips. And we struggled, you know, away from Pride Park last season. So that's one thing I think Liam needs to sort out is the away form. Obviously, we could technically say we have won away. We beat Bradford at Bradford. But that's, for me, it's one thing he's got to sort is that away form of ours.
I think he's well aware of that as well. I think that's why he's brought in these senior players to add in alongside the youngsters. That's the prime reason. He mentions the 1-0 defeats away from home. There were too many of them. And I think he's made a conscious effort with the evidence of this transfer window to amend that. But look, League One is difficult. I was fortunate enough to cover it quite a bit last season. And you would sometimes look at the league table with Rotherham, Wigan, MK Dons, Sunderland, all these teams. Bolton are going to be in the mix as well. Ipswich. There are lots of big teams in there that want to get out of it. And I hope for Derby's sake it's not underestimated. But
who's your dark horse, Dom, of what you've seen? Who's the team to watch?
I'll say Bolton Wanderers, I think. I think under Ian Everett, obviously former Ram from the area, he's actually building something at Bolton that's quite impressive. He's another impressive young manager. He talks a lot, and I think he learned some lessons last season. He called them the best team in the league ahead of a Derby match with Wigan, in which Wigan convincingly beat them. And they held that against him to the very last. But he's building something slowly but surely with that team. And the additions they made last January made them even stronger. They're looking to do the same again. I'm not sure they'll be able to compete in the automatic spots, but I think they'll definitely be one for the playoffs. Extra as well. I know they've just come up. They could be one of the dark horses. The way they played, and I tell you what, there's no better gantry than Exeter away. So you literally have to climb a ladder over one of the stands, like parallel to get up there, and it's on this like scaffolding.
I didn't even doubt your Zimmer frame, Chris.
Honestly, it was brilliant. But I think they're a team full of confidence. But I know they've lost. Have they lost their manager? No, they didn't lose their manager. It's Forest Green, I think. But
Green's manager's gone to Watford, hasn't
he? Yeah, Edwards, isn't it? So I think Exeter. If I was going to throw anyone, why not?
Fantastic. So, well, that pretty much wraps up. There was one other thing you sent me a tweet beforehand, Chris, that looked like a mystery guy training with us. Someone said it's Amadou Diallo, former West Ham player. I believe, though, looking at Wikipedia, whether that's right or not, I don't know. He's at Furv. He signed the contract with Furv in Norway in January 2022. But
who knows? There's too many in the know. You know my feelings about in the nose. just a final thing, Simon. Sorry, Dom. Whilst we've got you on, first of all, it's been amazing you've been on. It's your dream job, and you're a massive Derby fan. Which hat are you going to put on game day? Because obviously you're going to be steering the ship as such, of the steering of HMS BBC Radio Derby. How are you going to handle yourself at a match day, knowing the ups and downs and the trauma? Is it going to be easier than the Manchester gig or harder?
I'm not going to lie. I debated when I got the job whether to say I was a Derby fan, because I think it can sometimes throw you into a situation where there's a certain expectation from you in this sort of job. Yeah. So I'm going to try and be very. I would like to believe you won't think I'm a Derby fan when I'm on the radio, essentially. So, I think I'll play it very straight and try and just stay neutral. I don't want to get carried away.
That isn't going to happen. That is not going to happen. I'm telling you. I'm not doubting your professionalism, but Ed's a Derby fan, massive Derby fan. And we know, we've seen his passion come out. And I think, as much as you would hope to stay neutral, I still think there may be occasions where they just might eke out a little bit.
I might just get like a fish bump going with Ed or something, like, when a goal goes in. Because I think you need the straight guy, because Ed's brilliant, and fans love him and for his commentary and his passion and so many great moments. I think you need the straight guy to be there and just settle things down maybe at the full time whistle. So we'll see. I'll hold you to that, Simon.
Ah, fair enough. Well, I look forward to hearing you on Radio Derby and your post match interviews and your Monday night moanings and all that. Will you be doing them?
Yeah.
Looking forward to them.
I am. Call in, get in touch.
You've got numbers, mate. If you want some wingmen, you know where we're at.
Absolutely. No, I'm really, really grateful for coming on, guys. I've listened to the podcast before, but it's been great chatting to you. And thank you for welcoming me in. And the Derby fans, I should say, on Twitter and everything have been incredible. And I couldn't have asked for a better reception. So thank you. Up the Rams.
He's happy now. That's brilliant. Chris, any final words from you?
Champions.
He's gone champions now. Oh, God, again.
No, I just wish Dom all the best. It's great to hear a local accent on the radio. Nothing. Don't get me wrong, Colsey was great. But I'll be looking forward to see if he remembers to press the mute button or not when we score the fifth against Bolton.
Feel free to drop me a text if they do win the league.
Will do, mate. All the best, mate. All the best.
Thank you,
brilliant,
guys.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Dom, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, guys, for listening. Remember to like, subscribe and share. And we shall see you next time. And as always, come on, Derby.